David, it was kind of interesting to hear you describe the finished woodblock print as a little boy. Do you have a favorite illustration?
Yes, this month. And if you ask me next month, I'll say the same thing. This month.
So every month is something
I have to
better
think
than
that way. If I took one and said, that's my favorite, then what happens next month or next month? I'd lose interest in what I was doing. I must feel that this month the print is going to be better than the one I made last month. I've been thinking that way for 9 years now. I must do it that way.
And how about the poet? Is there a poet that stands out for you?
If you had asked me this question a few years ago, I would have said, yes, I like this one, or perhaps I like that one. But now I'm refocusing myself. In order to become a very good carver, I don't think about that stuff. I just think about carving beautiful lines. In order to become a good printer, I don't think about that stuff. I just try and carve beautiful, deep colors. This, I think, is the way the traditional Shokunin, traditional craftsman, worked, and I'm gradually learning how to do that. Throw away everything that's not important to the actual work that's on my desk in front of me.
As a woodblock printmaker, what is your take on what is happening with the craft these days?
Well, of course, it's dead. What can we say? And we touched on this in the earlier conversation. Woodblock printmaking was born a few hundred years ago. It flourished, of course, in the Edo time. And then when the printing presses came in Meiji, of course, that pretty much put an end to it. This is the way it should be. In normal life, of course, things are born. They flourish for a time and they die. A flower seed is planted, the flower grows, and then 1 year later or 2 years later, whatever it is, it dies naturally. I was born in 1951. I will flourish for hopefully 99 years, and then I will die. That's the way of everything in the world. So printmaking, too. It was born 300 years ago. It flourished. And now it's pretty much finished. It would be silly to try and carry it and carry it and carry it to the future beyond the time it should. It's time naturally, as we all do.
You described the Hyakunin Ishu as your apprenticeship.
Yes, it's taking 10 years. At the beginning of it, my techniques weren't really very good, I'm embarrassed to say now. I feel better now about my carving and printing. I think I'm getting much better. And by the end of this 10 years, I think really I'll be at my okay level, ready to make some really beautiful prints.
But I would imagine the Hyakunin Ishu could maybe be even a defining piece for you.
People talk about it as my life work, and every time I hear that expression, I reject it. No, if this is to be my life work, then what comes next? No, I'm going to go up and up and up from here. This is just a warm-up. 10 years, it's just a warm-up.
All right. When you put down the carving tools and the pigments and step away from making the woodblock prints, what are some of the things you like to do?
The other room in my workshop, yes, of course. When I get out of the Japanese room and into the Western room, I turn on the computer and fire up the internet. In fact, I've got my own home page on the internet that shows my prints and different stories about how they are made.
Do people from foreign countries collect your prints?
Yes, some of my collectors live in, England, France, Australia, Indonesia. Yes, they're enjoying my work as well.
Great. Okay, you've got about a year left in the project, the Hyakunin Ishu.
Yes.
Do you have any plans for a future project?
I do, but I'm not willing to talk about them on the air yet. I'm trying to decide now what to do. The next plan definitely won't be 10 years. It'll be something shorter scale. But it may be something quite a bit more complex. I'm trying to decide now between one or two or three options, and when I'm ready, I'll let you know about it.
You live in northwestern Tokyo. Is that a good place to live for your work?
It really doesn't make much difference. All I need is a small tatami area, one tatami room, and I can do it anywhere. In the middle of Shitamachi would be good. Out in the place I live would be good. Somewhere in the mountains of Yamanashi Prefecture, that would be okay too. It really doesn't matter.
You are a man who is devoted to his work, and if you're in your setting, you don't anything else around you.
Well, I'm having fun. I make beautiful, beautiful stuff. People are collecting it, helping to support my work. No, I'm just having fun.
You also write essays for some of the newspapers and magazines, correct?
Yes, I do. It started by describing my own work to the people who are collecting, and from there it's grown bit by bit. It's very enjoyable work as well.
What are some of the topics that you write about?
Anything and everything. Again, it started with my printmaking work, but from there it grew wider and wider, and now I'll write about anything at all. Maybe next week I'll write about talking about my work on the radio. Who knows?
So you're pretty much committed to living in Japan, staying here?
Oh, I love it here. The fact that every time I pick up the telephone, of course, people speak at me in a strange language, there's a challenge to my life. Every day there's a challenge. That makes life worth living. If I go back to Canada, it's a beautiful place, but that would be a boring way to live. I'd love to live here with an endless challenge.
So you'll stay here?
I intend to die here when I'm 99 years old.
Hey, I hope you can make it to 99, and I hope I can be right behind you.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. It's been fun.